Episode 2, the Fine Leg to Fine Leg podcast, season 3. Welcome back, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, yep. It's good to be back.
Yep.
I'm speaking very close to the microphone, so this is probably very loud and I'm going to have to edit it down.
Yeah.
I will take
a roll back.
Further back from the mic now. All right, cool. We're back. And yep. I think we'll just get straight to it, Nico. In this episode, we're going to be covering our season predictions.
Yes.
So the deal with this is that they have to... Our predictions have to have taken place before the end of the season so we can actually go back and review them.
Yep.
And to make sure if, and we can see if we actually got them right or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we both prepared a few predictions. This is just for the Sheffield Children One Day Cup. We'll cover more international cricket-related stuff in our Ashes special, which will be coming up
in Ashes Bonanza.
In our Super Mega Ashes special that we will be
yep.
doing in a few more episodes. That'll be coming soon, so... Keep your eyes out for that. That'll be big, that episode. We'll probably do a few of those, to be honest. But definitely do a massive preview of the Ashes. But yes, for this episode, we'll be focusing on domestic cricket and what we think is going to happen this year.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's get straight into it, I think.
Yep.
You know, so we've prepared some players to watch.
Yep.
From each state for this season. Mm-hmm. And I think I'll kick it off here. New South Wales, Curtis Patterson. Is my player to watch here. He's been pretty vocal about thinking he can realistically get back in the Australian side, and he wants to get back in the Australian side. He's had a year or so that's been affected by injuries, and he's hasn't really hit the heights he did against Sri Lanka that he did a few years ago, and he came into the side and made those couple of tons. And he's got a very good average at test level just because of those couple of games that he played, and I think definitely could watch out for him if he reckons he's going to have a big season. There's been a lot of cases with players just trying to make a statement at the start of the season and saying, well, I'm going to have a big season here. Yeah. I mean, Chris Lynn did it last year and just completely failed, but
yeah,
maybe.
And especially when there's at least two spots up for grabs in the test.
Definitely. Definitely.
We got one opener with Warner.
An opener while Pekowski's still not 100% fit. And number five isn't...
And then potentially Payne if he's not fit.
Well, the Tim Payne spot could be available, you know.
Yeah.
We'll get onto that later. I've got a point to talk about there, but it's probably a good lead into this one. Queensland, I've got Jimmy Pearson.
Yeah.
Who is another one who's been vocal about his aspirations to play Test cricket. And I think... He started the season in very, very good form. And I think he's on for a massive season, to be honest. So look out for him to have a really big season, I think. Because he's definitely one of the best wicketkeepers in Australia. He's probably just been sort of there or thereabouts in state cricket. But he's never been one of those blokes where you'd sort of think of him as a potential...
I think just because his batting's probably let him down for the past few years.
Yeah, I don't think his batting's been strong enough to really put him into contention for a spot on the test side, but I think now he's really ready to take it up a notch and maybe, push himself into contention.
Yeah.
So for South Australia, I've got a couple. I'll say Nathan McAndrew because he's come in and he's done pretty well, so I think just keep an eye on him and how he goes. But the main one I've got is Jake Lehman, but not for good reasons, I don't think. I think this is looking... at it the other way, where I think if he doesn't have a good season, I think he could be gone. I think he's... last season, he was playing as a specialist number 7 batsman, which isn't really what you want. I think it just shows the state that South Australian cricket was in. But I think if South Australia are going full on with their rebuild, they need to cut out players who aren't performing like they need them to. And I think Jake Lehman's one of the culprits for doing stuff like that. And... hasn't been performing that well, so probably not much use for him if they're trying to bring in younger players or players that are going to stand up more often.
Yeah, especially someone that can do a bit more at number 7, like if Sam Kerber comes in and he can bowl.
Have someone that can bowl. There's no point having a number 7 that can't bat. That can't bowl.
Or keep.
If you're like being a specialist number 7 batsman in Shield cricket,
really any cricket, really.
It seems pointless, really. You'd rather just have an all-rounder in there that can... bat a bit and bowl a bit.
Mm.
Or have your wicketkeeper there. But, I mean, Alex Carey bats at, number 5, I think, in Shield cricket for them. So,
Something like that, yeah.
Or Harry Nielsen, when he's playing, bats at 5 or 6. So, I think Jake Lehman could find himself on the way out.
He needs to stand up, otherwise he could be on his ass.
For Tasmania, again, I've got a couple here. I think look out for Jordan Silk, who's moved to the middle order in Shield cricket. Has been opening the batting for pretty much his whole... Shield career, with probably surprisingly underwhelming stats opening the batting for Tassie. And he's moved to the middle order and he looks good.
Yeah.
Just like he does in white ball cricket. He's always seemed like a good middle order batsman in white ball cricket, so it makes sense to bat him in the middle order in red ball cricket, and I think he's done pretty well so far. But the main one I had was Tim Ward, who's come down from New South Wales, and he's had a very good start to the season. I think he's in the top three run scorers for the Shield so far, and prolific run scorer at club level, and I think he, yeah, definitely look out for him.
He made a ton in his debut,
yeah. We talked about Bryce Street in the last episode, about how he could, people were saying he should be in the test side after making one ton at Karen Rolton Oval. Tim Ward did the same thing and made more runs than him, and no one was talking about him, so, you know, not happy. Not happy, Nico. Yeah, pretty interesting. For Victoria, it's a name everyone will probably know, but one that, again, hasn't really had any massive seasons for a while, and that's Peter Hanscom. He was dropped, I don't know, about 18 months ago from the ODI side and hasn't found his way back into there. But I think, especially in terms of red ball cricket, I think he's due for a massive season. And I'm tipping him to have a really big season. Maybe force his way back into contention for international honours, because I think if he doesn't do it this year, I don't think he's finding his way back in, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because he's getting on, and I think they'll be looking at other players, and if Hanscom doesn't make the selectors take notice now, I don't think they ever will take notice again. Well, with WA, I've got Jai Richardson, who's, again, following the trend of some other blokes in this list that I've got, has had injury-affected years for the past few years after making his debut in Test cricket and performing pretty well. Hasn't found himself in the Australian side for a while now, and I think he's finally got his body right. He's got his shoulder right. He's got his... He had a little back scare, I think, in one of the Shield games, but I think he came back pretty soon after that. And he's playing consistent red ball cricket now. He's playing, or just consistent cricket, period. And I think that's what he needed, and I think that's all he needs to find his way back into the Australian side. And I think there could be a spot there for him in that squad with Paddo retiring. I think you've got Richardson and Nisa, who hasn't been playing that well, and I think he's injured. If Jai Richardson wants that fourth fast bowler spot, I think it's his for the taking, to be honest.
Yeah, if he can prove himself, then definitely.
If he's taking wickets and he's bowling fast, then yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely brings a bit of X factor to that side. So that's my list. Nico, who have you got as your players to watch?
I've sort of gone for just more younger guys, I guess, to look out for the future.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much people that are knocking down the door of Australian selection, but I think blokes that are just looking for cementing their spot, I think,
in the state side.
In Shield cricket.
Yes.
So I've got for New South Wales a bloke who's only played, I think, only one Shield game so far.
Yep.
Lachlan Hearn, who's actually playing today.
He's playing currently as we're recording this. Yep. Yes.
So I picked him because last season in Premier Cricket he made 1,150 runs at an average of 41 and took a few handy wickets. So I think he's someone that's probably going to be looking forward to playing a lot of Shield games this season, hopefully. Watching him grow this season.
Well, they've got a pretty inexperienced middle order now, New South Wales, without their big guns in. So what it's consisting currently of what Sanger, Jack Edwards, Matt Jilks, or is Matt Jilks opening? I think so.
Yeah.
But and Hearn, so they're all pretty young guys, and with not a hell of a lot of experience. Enriquez isn't in there.
Yeah.
At the moment.
And you got Neville at eight.
Neville's batting eight. Then, I don't know if he actually will or not. I think it depends on the match situation.
And Abbott at seven, I think.
Yeah, and Curtis Patterson's at number four. He's probably their most experienced batsman.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they're... I don't know. They've gone from having one of the strongest middle orders in state cricket to one of the weakest. So we'll see how that goes. But Lachie Hearn, if he can stand up, then that'll hopefully ease the pressure on some of the other guys in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for Queensland, I've gone for Jack Wildermuth.
Yes, I agree with this.
As an all-rounder, I think, obviously, as we said, with Nisa injured at the moment, and they're both players that are very, very similar. I think Wildermuth's probably a bit more talented with the bat than what Nisa, I reckon, is.
Yes, I think Nisa's more of a bowler. Wildermuth's probably, I'd say he's a genuine all-rounder, to be honest.
Yeah, Wildermuth's probably a genuine all-rounder.
Don't see many of them these days, but it's good to see him.
Him and Cameron Green are probably very similar.
Oh, I don't think Cameron... I'd say Cameron Green's a batting all-rounder, to be honest.
Really?
Until he gets his bowling back
yeah.
to what it was a few years ago, then I think, yeah, I think Cameron Green...
Yeah, I think Woodhamuth, with Nisa out, he's been given the new ball, him and Sandu.
And he's been pretty solid with it.
He's been very solid with it. Yeah. Maybe not taking as many wickets, but not bowling...
He hasn't been bowling badly, definitely not.
Been bowling pretty tight and consistent.
I'd be pretty happy with his efforts.
Yeah, I think batting probably just needs to make a few more runs, but I think he's coming in at times where just need Queensland because
yeah,
the top order of
top order's been solid for
the
them.
Top order for Queensland's just immaculate.
But it's good knowing that you've got guys like Jimmy Pearson batting at six, and then Woodhamuth coming in at seven.
Yeah,
that you can actually rely on. But I think yeah, Woodhamuth, he's coming into his prime now, and I think he's ready to become. Probably a guy that the selectors might take notice of.
Yeah, for Australia.
In the near future. Yes. Yeah.
And then for South Australia, going for similar to Jimmy, I've said McAndrew as well as Brendan Doggett.
Yep.
I think yep. Doggett's got coming from Queensland, played a few games for Queensland, was on a squad for Australia in a test series, I think. Was it? It was a
Doggett, yeah, he was a few years ago.
I think Doggett especially has got something to prove. I think he's just going to want to take wickets and just be really hungry, really, really yeah. hungry for wickets and bowling really well to prove himself at South Australia. I think regardless, he's probably going to keep his spot for yeah. South Australia.
Yeah. All right, Tassie, who have you got?
And Tassie, I went for probably a bit of a bandwagon because he's been making a lot of runs and taking a fair few wickets. Lawrence Neale-Smith.
Yes.
I don't know where he's come from. But,
he came from New South Wales, but
a
couple of years ago. He's been playing Shield cricket for Tassie for a couple of years now.
Probably another genuine all-rounder.
I don't think he is a genuine... I think he started the season as a fast bowler.
Yeah, and then he's came in as night watchman.
A couple of times, and he's made he made a 70-odd and a 60-odd, I think.
Yeah, he's made some...
He's made a couple of 50s, and...
Yeah, and then they batted him at
promoted
like seven
him to number seven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After having some... I'm not going to say fluke, but I'm going to say some pretty... I don't know how you describe it, because it's not intentional for him to be batting at three, but he's just come in at night watchman.
But he's batted just, like a number three.
And he's just taking his opportunity, yeah. I guess. So yeah, that's why I got him someone to look out for. He even plays for Sydney Sixers, I found out, so maybe he gets a game in the Big Bash and might...
Well, maybe.
Might light it up. I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows?
Vicks...
Who you got for the Vicks?
I have another two young guys that probably are really looking to cement their spot. They're not playing in this game.
I think I know who you've got here, and I think they're probably trying to jostle for the same spot almost.
Yeah.
In the middle order.
Jake Fraser-McGurk and Maka Harvey.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Harvey. Yep. Two blokes that probably play more in the one-day tournament.
Yep.
For Victoria. Victoria definitely. Obviously haven't played any one-day cup games yet because of COVID reasons.
Coming up soon, though.
Yeah. But I think those two are probably going to, again, as Jimmy said, compete
yeah.
against each other for the same spot. Just that middle order, I guess. Maybe
sort of number five or six, I think.
Five or six, just a bit of flair. They're not massive hitters.
No. But they're pretty impressive players, I think. I mean, Mackenzie Harvey struggled over the past couple of years, hasn't, from a statistical point of view, hasn't been that impressive, but I think he's had a good preseason. He made a couple of tons in the preseason games that they played.
Yeah.
And I think he could be ready to take the next step now and sort of be on that same level as what Fraser-McGurk established himself to be in the last few years.
Yeah, because Fraser-McGurk came in and just he's averaging... Probably I'd say like 30 or 40 in the couple of games that he's played.
Yeah, yeah, he's done all right. Definitely impressive when he came in on debut.
Yeah.
Was it a couple of years ago now? I think he made his debut at the G in that one-day cup game against South Australia, which was...
Yeah.
That was a good game, that one.
Very good game.
Yeah.
Now for WA, I went for Joel Parris. Bit interesting. Probably a bit of a random one. But I think he's probably coming into the end of his prime... I think this is maybe this season. The next one's probably going to be his last few really good seasons that he has, you know, where he's in his prime.
Yep.
So I think he's probably just going to really push this season and just drag it out as much as he can, drag out his form, drag out his prime, and just try and take as many wickets as he can.
Yep.
Just bowl fast, hit stumps, get some wickets.
Pretty much. All right. Well, cool. Next, we are moving on to our predictions, as in...
Winners, Spooners, Premiers.
Spooners and Premiers for both the Shield and the One Day Cup. But before we get onto that, we've got to do our sponsor for the episode.
Not again. We've
got to do our sponsor.
Who's our sponsor this time?
Okay. So, this episode is sponsored by... It's a new course that's come out online. It's Virat Kohli's How to Be a Tosser online course. Yes, so check it out. It's very, very engaging and educational. Virat obviously brings a lot of expertise in that area to, yeah,
as in like
to the course.
As in like the coin tosser or like...
No. As in personality-wise.
Oh.
Just being a pretty much. Yes, that's the aim of the course. So if you're interested in that sort of thing or how to be a better tosser, then go and check out the online course at. Well, if you, yeah, go and check it out, and you can get a discount code on it as well if you use the disc. Yes,
what's
you can get a discount on it if you use the discount code FineLeg, when you sign up for the course. So
where will I find the course, Jim?
It's online. On the internet. Just Google it.
Just Google it.
Probably come up. Forgot what the website was. Yeah.
They're our sponsor, Jim.
But yes, that's our sponsor for this episode. Moving on.
Okay.
All right, so for the Shield, the Spooners I've got are South Australia in the Shield. I just don't think they're going to... I think they might finally win a game, maybe.
Yeah, I've got...
If they're lucky.
I've got South Australia down as well. I think their problem is complacency, I think.
Yeah.
Once they get to like the second, like when they're in the field, they just get a bit complacent. They just let sides just run over.
I think it goes back to the talking point that we were talking about in the last episode, where we talked about them not having really enough players with match winning capabilities.
Yeah.
So I think if that's just going to stop them being competitive in Shield matches, to be honest.
Yeah.
They're going to drop off, as you said, and hopefully they don't get rolled, because that's never a good thing when you're playing cricket. It's
I don't think they're the sort of side that's going to get rolled. I think
not anymore. I don't think they got their team's okay now. It's solid, but it's not.
See, now if you had someone like Glenn Maxwell in the side in the field, I think he can just bring a
energy.
Lot of energy.
Yeah,
I'm actually wearing shorts that were owned by Glenn Maxwell. He's never worn these shorts, but you know they were part of his like wardrobe or something like that, and he just donated them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Fun fact from Nico.
Yeah.
All right, for the Premiers, though, I have WA winning the Shield.
Okay.
I think you have someone different based on that response?
Yep. I've gone for Queensland.
Queensland.
Okay. I've gone for Queensland just because I think their top order...
is good.
Is very good.
It's very good.
I think even if you take out Labuschagne... I mean, maybe if you take out Labuschagne and Khawaja, they might be a bit exposed.
You've got Hazlett to come in.
Yeah.
After that, and... I think they can plug the gaps well enough. Well, if you've still got Burns and Renshaw in there, Street can make runs.
Yeah.
And Pearson's batting well. So, you know, I think they can, yeah.
Because in that side, only like, I can only think of maybe like three of them that has the chance of playing tests this series and potentially missing out on Monday.
Yeah, you know. Well, games. I think WA, they've just got so much depth. Most of their side's international quality or has played international cricket before. Maybe not their bowlers so much, but definitely going from 1 to 7, there's an endless amount of blokes that could come in and do a job for you. It's pretty ridiculous the amount of talent they have at the moment. So, I'm going to go with WA. And I'm also going to go with WA to win the One Day Cup.
Okay. I've gone the same.
Yeah, to double up there. Just, yeah, clean sweep for this year. As I said, just the amount of talent they've got in there is ridiculous. So, I think... Nobody's stopping them in either competition. I think you probably agree with me from the one day.
Yeah, I've got WA for the one day. I think they've just got a bit more. I think they've got a lot more versatility in their lineup. They got a lot of players that can just play pretty much anywhere they like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially when you got someone like Mitch Marsh coming in, he'll come in eventually.
He can bat he can bat from 3 to 5.
Yeah, and the one day expect. Form that he's in, I think it's going
to be very good. If he comes back in decent form, then yeah. Definitely look out for WA to retain the One Day Cup.
Yeah.
But for the Spoon, I've got Tassie. I think
it
was out of Tassie or South Australia for me, but I think South Australia just have... They're just probably a little bit better at one-dayers than Tassie are, to be honest. That's all it is. Tassie, I think, are a side better suited to Shield cricket as opposed to One Day Cup matches. Then again, I did make this prediction before Ben Benenti started playing for them in the One Day Cup, so that could definitely change.
Jimmy Seymour's on 93.
We're going all right, aren't we?
Nick Manson's at 98.
Nick Maddow, get him in the... Okay, number five. He's batting at number five for Australia. He has to. It's him or Head.
I think the good thing with Maddow is that he can go at two different rates. He can go hit bombs.
Yeah.
Or he can bat properly. Not properly, but like, you know...
Even when he's batting properly, he's still scoring runs.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Because I remember he was opening the batting... One game for Victoria, and it was like in the first over, the bloke bowled it at bale height, and he just hoiked it over.
Yeah, he's bowled it at his hip, and he's just smashed it for six.
First over.
That's why I love Maddow.
First over of the innings.
You have to get him in at number five, I reckon. Surely, if he keeps making runs like this, I don't see why not. Leading run scorers. That's what we're onto now.
Yeah.
So for the Shield, what's this?
Need to do my spooners for the One Day Cup.
Oh yeah, sorry. So who did you have?
Jesus, I actually had Victoria. I did have Victoria. I don't think we quite have the depth.
Depth or quality, I think.
Depth and quality.
Because I can't see Maxwell or Finch playing many games. Maxwell might play one or two, but Finch, I don't think he'll play for the Vicks this season.
Definitely not.
Be surprised if he turns up in navy blue.
Very. I just don't think we quite have the depth nor the, I guess, the talent for the one day stuff.
Yeah, I think it's still a young side and still developing. It'll be a development year for the Vicks, yeah. I think.
I mean,
mostly.
Probably a bit premature since we haven't seen Victoria actually play in a One Day Cup game
yet. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, we did intend to do these predictions before the season started, but COVID fucked us.
And I think just looking at the other games that have gone by, I think Victoria don't really have much of a chance of doing any good.
But, yeah, okay, so lead on to the leading runs.
Now we can lead on to the...
Yes. So for the Shield, I think it's out of a few blokes here. I've got Khawaja, Patterson, Marcus Harris. I could probably add Nick Maddison into that conversation now, given the form he's in at the moment. Peter Hanscom, who I mentioned I'm expecting to have a big season. I'm actually thinking about this now because the bloke I've got down here is Jimmy Pearson, but I actually think it could be Maddow.
Really? So you're not going to even go for anyone from WA despite the fact you reckon they're going to win it?
Well, because I think Cam Green's going to play a lot of international cricket. Sean Marsh will be up there, but I don't think he'll be the leading run scorer. Whiteman and Bancroft will obviously make runs, but I don't think they're going to be the leading run scorer. See, they're a team with a lot of talent and a lot of blokes who are pretty solid, but I don't think they're going to... Not one of them is just going to take it on themselves to make a lot of runs. But I think, I don't know, who knows? Do I have to make it a call here or can I go with like...
What are you reckon your top... Okay, what's your top three going to look like?
What I'm going to do, I'm going to say Maddow if he doesn't play Test cricket.
Okay.
If Maddow does play for Australia, then I'm going to go with Jimmy Pearson.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah.
And then I think rounding out the top three, no, I can't really pick between Khawaja, Patterson or Hanscom, to be honest.
Okay.
How about you, Nico? What have you got for the Shield?
I've gone for Khawaja.
Okay.
Gone for Khawaja.
So are you expecting him to play for Australia or?
No.
No.
I don't think he is.
I think Shane Warne actually made a decent call for once, saying like it's a bit of a step backwards trying to pick Khawaja in that number five spot. Like I wouldn't mind seeing him. But if he's in decent form, but yeah, I think he's got a point. It is a bit of a step backwards, and it's probably better to look.
And I
to
think when Lover, someone and, else, and when Labuschagne goes to play in the Test matches, Khawaja's going to go to three.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Opportunity, and I think you know he's hungry.
He's hungry. Yes, definitely. He's had a few below average seasons.
Yeah, and I think he seems to have improved a bit on his technique because sometimes he gets a bit lazy when the ball's just on a length outside off. He gets a bit lazy. But I think he's probably worked on that.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking a lot more solid.
Well, I think we have the same leading run scorer for the One Day Cup, based on the massive head start that he's got. Pun intended.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice one.
It is Travis Head because he's made that double ton at the start of the season. I think unless anyone else makes a double ton in the One Day Cup, it's going to be Travis Head.
Yeah, I think he's just too far ahead. As the leading run scorer.
He's too far ahead already, and I think I can't see him not making enough runs to keep himself at the top of the list there.
Yeah.
To be honest, I can't think of anyone else that would actually challenge him, really. I mean, it's sort of hard to judge with the One Day Cup. It's always a tough competition to predict for.
Yeah,
because they don't actually run it properly, Nico. It's frustrating.
Yeah, because it's very sort of like in the middle of the Shield season, in the middle of, you know, towards the back end, and then it's just sort of here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we'll move on to the leading wicket takers now, and reluctantly for the Shield, I've got Mark Steckety.
So have I.
Not because I want him to, just because I think he will be the leading wicket taker.
He was the leading wicket taker last season, wasn't he?
No, that was Gaz, I'm pretty sure.
Was it?
It was.
He actually took wickets for once.
Gaz and Swepo and Jackson Bird, I think, were up there.
Gaz actually took wickets.
Yes, he did. After you said he was washed up.
He is washed up. He's bowled 21 overs, none for 30. He hasn't taken a wicket in 21 overs. And he's bowling to two left-handers.
I think you really need to make up your mind about whether he's washed up or not.
Oh, he is. He can't take a wicket.
All right. Maybe we need another episode of Nothing New.
He's going to, you know, Ben Stokes is now coming to Australia, and he's going to absolutely wipe the floor with Nathan Lyon.
And there's no Moen Ali up he's gonna get either his, to revive his he's career,
gonna get
his is there?
Big, he's going to get Nathan Lyon's big shiny head and just, like, you know, just sweep the pitch up a bit, you know? Sweep the boundary, you know?
But yes, as I said, no Moen Ali. He's retired, so...
So Nathan Lyon's got no one.
He's got no bunny anymore.
Yeah. I mean, in all fairness, Nathan Lyon has had, what, two green decks, so not really...
Yeah, I think it's pretty... The wicket's probably not great for spin bowling on day one, to be honest.
But then Tanvir Sanger, you know, took a few poles. It's washed up, Jim.
Done it. Okay. If you say so.
Yep.
Well...
Liam Hatcher has taken more wickets than him this game.
That's okay. Liam Hatcher's all right.
Okay, if you say so.
Anyway, for the One Day Cup, I've got Jai Richardson as a leading wicket taker, because I don't really know who else to say for this, to be honest.
Okay.
It could be anyone, really. One day cricket's hard to predict wicket takers for, because it just depends on who's good on the day, I guess. It's not really one of those things where it's a marathon, not a sprint like the Shield is, where blokes will take wickets consistently based on how good they're bowling. It's just sometimes you take wickets if you're lucky.
Yeah, sometimes with the one day games.
Lloyd Pope.
But sometimes, like Lloyd Pope's a great example where he's not taking good wickets, if that makes any sense. He's taking wickets of blokes trying to, like, he's bowled a full toss or like a half tracker. The bloke's just gone for a big mo and he's got caught on the fence. You know, it's sometimes in limited overs cricket, you sort of get those wickets where they're not like good wickets.
Yeah.
They're just,
yeah. So for this, I had Nathan Ellis, but I think he's not going to be planned for any One Day Cup matches for a while until he gets back from the UAE, which isn't going to be till next year. Well, as in, he's not going to be playing any One Day Cup matches till next year after the Big Bash ends. So I can't see him. So I think I'll probably say Jai Richardson.
Yeah.
For now, who did you have?
Well, I had Brendan Doggett, but I've had a change of heart.
Who are you going with now?
I'm going to say either Ben Menenti or Tanvir Sanger.
Oh my goodness. Are you making this up on the spot?
Yeah.
Because I mean, Sanger's not a bad call. I don't think it's going to be Menenti, but I don't mind Sanger as a bit of a left field call.
Because I think he's a very talented leg spinner. And there's him and Lloyd Pope, Darcy Short, you know, there's like not even half a dozen... wrist spinners in the competition. So I think he's going to be something a bit different that batsmen are going to have. And Australian batsmen struggle against leg spinners.
That is true. It is definitely true.
So I think Tanvir Sanger, he took...
Except Lloyd Pope.
Yeah. I could bat against Lloyd Pope.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, I think Tanvir Sanger, I reckon, I'm sure he'll get a game. I'm sure.
All right. Oh yeah, he'll play. I think he'll play. I mean, he got into the T20 side for Australia.
Yeah.
And he was on that overseas tour, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't think...
To West Indies or Bangladesh. He didn't play any games, but he was there. Which was... Oh, it was good for him, I guess.
Yeah.
Had a decent Big Bash season. I don't think... We don't take the Big Bash too seriously, but I think if you have a sort of a standout season like Josh Phillippe or Tan Vierzanger did. Like,
but you look at that, like, even the Big Bash, like, leg spinners dominate.
Yeah.
Leg spinners, like, yeah. Cam Boyce.
Definitely.
Even Rashid Khan.
I don't think Cam Boyce was the one. Rashid Khan would probably be the one I'd say first. You love Cameron Boyce, don't you?
I do.
You just...
Like, you look at the grand final that Renegades beat Stars in, he was the catalyst of that. He you know...
Oh, I don't remember much from that. I choose not to remember much from that.
Oh, I get recommended that video, like, every just second day.
Just from my PTSD as a former Stars fan.
I get recommended that video of the highlights every second
day. That was the game that made me give up on the Big Bash. That one.
I remember watching, I'm like, no. Nah,
gave up on the Melbourne Stars, nah, this gave is, up on the this Big is, Bash. Just, I'm,
like,
I'm done.
I was watching, I'm like, this game's over. Like, there's no chance. And then Cam Boyce just bowls Marcus Duenas. I'm like, oh. Then Glenn Maxwell holds out to the bloke at square leg. I'm
just
like,
a stupid game, Nico. It's big, no one likes the Big Bash, right?
And then before you know it, Zampa's trying to, you know, hit 20 off the last ball. And it's like, oh my God.
Bullshit.
It's
bullshit.
I know the thing you probably liked from that game was when Aaron Finch got run out and then he smashed the chair.
Yes, that was funny.
That was very funny.
Yeah.
Especially because they included it in the highlights.
Yeah.
It's generally in the highlights package of him just smashing a chair. I'm like,
that's on the tier of eliteness, by the way.
Is it actually?
Well, it's Finchy. That's the thing I've got for Finchy on there.
Yeah, nice.
Finchy loving chairs. Yes. But anyway, so like this segment, I really hope you've got something prepared for this because... In the past, you haven't really had anything prepared.
Yeah.
Some big calls.
Yeah.
For this season. Yeah,
So what do we call it? So what big calls for what competition? For what?
So this is for pretty much anything. This can be international included.
Oh.
So these are stuff that we
can
put
I,
out
can
there.
I, can I make Ashes big calls?
You can make Ashes big calls.
Is that for
calls.
The Ashes Bonanza big?
You can
mega?
Make vague Ashes. It doesn't have to be. Maybe not Ashes specific big calls.
Okay.
But it can be.
So maybe selection big calls.
Player related big calls. So.
Okay. Cool, cool, cool.
Obviously, these have to have taken place, as I said, by the end of the season.
Yeah.
So we can come back and see if we actually got some of these right. They probably won't be.
Yeah.
Probably get none of them right.
Quite possible.
But we'll see how we go. And the first one is going back to one of my players to watch, Jake Lehman. I think he's not getting offered a contract at the end of the season by South Australia. Jimmy, what is going on?
Jimmy Seymour's on 99,
by the way, so we're watching that.
We're very excited.
But yeah, anyway, big calls. Jake Lehman doesn't get a contract at the end of the season, I don't think.
Yep.
South Australia move him on, just not pulling his weight anymore, mm-hmm. and I think he's done for them. Actually, I might save that one. That's probably an Ashes-related one, to be honest.
Okay.
All right, this one's more player-related. It's David Warner, and I don't think he's going to make a Test 100 this summer.
Okay.
Even if Australia go on and win the series pretty comfortably, I don't think he's making a ton. And I think I made a big call last season where I said he's made his last Test ton.
Yeah.
I think that's very, very much possible.
Okay.
So... Another one based on my player to watch and probably taking it. Well, this is actually a combination of two big calls. So the first one isn't a massive call based on what I've already said.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Jimmy Pearson. Obviously, I tipped him to be the leading run scorer. So I think he's going to have a massive season, obviously. But I think Tim Payne is going to hang up the gloves, especially if Australia retain the Ashes. I think he'll feel like his job has done. I think he'll hang up the gloves and that'll open up a spot for Jimmy Pearson to walk right into.
Is Harry Conway wearing black socks?
Oh, please tell me he is. Harry Conway is just delivering the goods once again.
I think
he's got the collar up with the vest on. He's got the strut going and he may or may not be wearing black socks.
I'm pretty sure he is wearing black socks.
That's amazing. We love Harry Conway, by the way. He is just one of the best characters in cricket. Okay, I've got two more. I don't think this is a massive call, but I think Jai Richardson will finally return to the Test side.
Okay.
So that's more just like a prediction rather than a big call. And I think the other one I have is Sean Marsh retiring at the end of the season.
Oh, hello.
From domestic cricket, at least.
Ooh.
So I think Sean Marsh might give it one or two more years in the Big Bash, but after this season, I think he's done for Western Australia.
Okay.
So, Nico, do you have any... big calls?
I do. One being that Finch and Maxwell won't play for Victoria.
Okay.
I don't think they'll play for Victoria.
I wouldn't say that's a massive call, but...
Put in a massive call.
Like, it's a call. I don't think it's a big call.
As I probably said before, Khawaja won't play for Australia.
Okay. Again, it's probably just a prediction, not really necessarily a massive call. But yeah, go on. Have you actually prepared anything for this?
No.
You still... Okay.
I still haven't prepared
anything. You had a week's notice and you still didn't prepare anything for
it. I did. Poor. What else could I say for a big call, Jim?
I don't know. It's for you. I'm not making the big calls for you.
Okay.
If you don't have anything, I'm wrapping this up.
Okay. Now, I'll come back with a big call next week.
Next body. For the next episode, yes, we'll come back.
I'll just say it in the middle of the podcast.
But anyway, that's the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, listening to Nico ramble on about stuff, and hopefully Jimmy Seymour makes his ton soon. Is he on strike yet?
Matto's
still on strike. Ooh. He's on 91, by the way.
I got one.
All right, go on.
I got one. Nathan Lyon isn't going to take more than 4 wickets in an innings this season.
Okay, that's not bad. I mean, if you think he's washed up, then I mean, that makes sense.
See, I would say he's not going to take a single wicket this season because he's that washed up, but...
it's probably a bit... unrealistic, isn't
it? So I don't think he's going to take a 5-wicket haul or anything higher than that.
All right. You done? Yep. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
All right. Cool. Well, that wraps up the potty. Thanks for listening. Go and follow us on social media on Instagram at Fine Leg Cricket. And if you see the link in our bio, you can find our links for Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube as well.
Yep.
You can go and watch videos and stuff on our website.
Yeah.
So have fun with that. Please go and check it out. And
thank you.
Come back next time.